Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Right up front, I'll say I like the first Guardians better. For me, the biggest problem with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is not so much the type of humor. There's not a character in the movie who doesn't make me laugh at some point, but it's the amount of it. I feel like they've just put a little too many, like scale back like 10 to 15% of the jokes. And I think it works for me. The problem with having so many jokes is it increases the likelihood of having jokes that don't land for you. But other than that, it's actually an incredibly deep, compelling movie if you're willing to look past the surfacing. Now, I understand that a lot of people don't like this movie, but a lot of people don't like it and they're not willing to actually see what the story is telling. But you know what? That's not everybody. There are still people who understand what it's doing and still don't like the movie. They think Drax is being sexist, even though I would argue that there's one scene where maybe I come across that way where he's pretending to gag because he is imagining being with Mantis physically. But most of the time, his interactions with Mantis is all about how much he actually appreciates her as a being. And when he calls her ugly, to him, ugly is not a negative word. In fact, it's a very positive thing. But regardless, the stuff with Yondu and Rocket is really heart-touching when Yondu basically tells Rocket, you know, you're exactly like me. You push everybody away. You're just a jerk to everybody. You don't care about anybody. You are me. That's very touching. Seeing Peter struggles meeting his father, the joy that he has, you know, he plays catch with that energy ball that he makes when he finds out he's part celestial. And then later, of course, he finds out that Ego killed Peter Quill's mom. And when they fight, Yondu tells him, you know, I don't control my arrow with my head. I control it with my heart. And you get things like earlier when Peter had been told he's going to be able to manipulate this energy the way Ego does. He says he's going to make a whole bunch of weird stuff. He's going to make a giant Pac-Man. He's going to make this crazy thing. And he ends up doing some of that in the actual fight. In fact, it wasn't the first time I saw this movie. I really caught it later. But he does actually turn himself into a Pac-Man to eat Ego at one point in the final fight. And initially I thought, that's kind of goofy. Why would they do that? And then later viewing, I paid more attention and it really caught me. Oh, because he's just fighting with his heart. He's going on pure instinct. And he's still a kid stuck in the 80s. And so it actually makes a lot of sense that he would have done that. And they set that up with the Pac-Man line earlier. You know, I mentioned Yondu and Rocket. I gotta say, when they escape from the other Ravagers, absolutely hysterical. Baby Groot cracks me up the entire movie. But one of my favorites is the scene where he's trying to get Yondu's prototype Finn to control the arrow. Finally, you know, with the help of Kraglin, they get the Finn and the escape is just an amazing scene. It's hilarious to watch. It's a cool little action beat, even though most of it is just them walking because the arrow is flying around killing everybody around them. At the end of the movie, Yondu sacrifices his life to save Peter. And, you know, he says the touching line of, he may have been your father, Ego may have been your father, but he was never your daddy. It is shown here how much Yondu and Peter actually did love each other. And the Ravager funeral, every time I see the Ravager funeral, I'm like, this is heartbreaking and amazing at the same time. I love that scene. I think it's just a beautiful scene. Really, the entire movie, though, speaking of the word beautiful, that fits the entire movie. I love the special effects. I love the character designs. I love the use of the colors. The Sovereign, always, they always stand out to me as so odd looking, but they're supposed to. And the Sovereign, I think, are pretty funny. There's a couple gags with them that don't quite work for me as much, but again, that just goes back to having more jokes means less time to, or more time for them to, some of them not to land. I will say I have one complaint about the movie that I don't know where it falls in the scale of nitpick, but it does bother me every time. And that is just, I wish there weren't like five post-credit scenes or mid-credit scenes. I like it when they have two in these movies. And if a lot of the movies, the ones I like the best, have one more jokey one and one more serious one, I like those. And they also maybe have one that ties into the future of that character and one that just ties into a future of the MCU in general. For me, having five of them was probably a bit much. But all in all, I still enjoy the movie quite a bit. I was very happy to watch it last night, or not last night, but the other night when we watched it. I'm just not as big of a fan of it as I am the first movie. I think the first movie just, there's probably a little bit of, and I actually feel that Avengers 1 and 2, Avengers and Ultron, suffer from this. The second one, because it wasn't first, it does lose a little something. There is something to be said for that first time something happens on screen, or that first time something happens in the movies, the first time the Avengers come together, the first time the Guardians come together. It's always going to be just a little special in a way that others aren't. But regardless, I enjoy the movie.